podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello everyone, welcome to another video from Fantasy Football Scouts. You'll be likely watching this or listening to this just before or just after the West Ham game tonight at 8 o'clock. I think it's scheduled for 7 o'clock tonight. We're recording this at 12:25. We don't normally do one of these when there's a sort of a game week in progress. We've made an exception, don't we, Jenny? Because there's quite a lot to talk about.
There's so much to talk about. It's been the longest game week ever. We had to find time to still do these videos. Like, it's been ages since we chat, and I enjoy our weekly chats, especially when I'm having some nice green arrows, because at times in the season they could be painful, but at the moment they're good.
You're really closing the gap to me. It's every week I seem to come on and I've had like a small red and you've had like a decent sized green. We're going to talk. You've got players in play tonight. You've got to be confident of boosting your rank even more.
Yeah, triple West Ham. Have you got triple West Ham as well? Have you just got two? You have got three. Like everyone or most, Bowen captaincy. Although, you know, maybe it'll be one of those Antonio nights. Who knows? We all remember last season, Antonio versus Norwich. But I am expecting a nice little green off the back of three assets in tonight's fixture. It's exciting times. The team is looking good.
If Antonio does get another four goals against Norwich, we're going to be like, why didn't we captain him?
Aren't we? I know. It's the whole like form thing, isn't it? You just go, oh, Bowman's been so good of late, but you can't write off a class forward like Antonio in a game against a terrible defence. So it's going to be an enjoyable watch. I just hope they both get points.
Yeah, we'll try not to talk too much about what we think is going to happen in the West Ham game, because
most will watch it after.
Yeah, most people are going to watch it after. We're going to get it all wrong, and you know, it's best not to reflect.
Oh my God, imagine if they've all blanked. Oh, look, a right idiot now.
I know, right? Yeah, it's probably like, I don't know, Soufal plays and his top scorer, which I imagine some people would be quite happy with, but not us. Before we get into all the details about your game week so far and your plans going forward, I just want to talk about Fantasy 5, which we talk about most weeks that we do this. Great game to play alongside Fantasy Football. If you haven't played it already, Gianni and I pick our teams each time we do these, and we try and win the jackpot, which is £10,000, and you can play for free. We haven't won it yet, but we do all right. We get a couple of picks here and there. I'm sure we're going to hit it soon. There's loads of other prizes to be won as well. There's weekly prizes, football kits of choice. There's monthly prizes. They've given away things like a gaming monitor, 4K gaming monitor. And there's like an overall great prize of Champions League final tickets. There's also a fantasy football league where you get £100 monthly to the winner of that. All you got to do is you've got to pick five players from the provided fixtures. They have a fantasy points target. Get them all right and you win 10K. Which sounds so easy, but is notoriously difficult to do. But get some of them right, and obviously you get points towards your monthly total, your weekly total, and all the other prizes that I mentioned. Deadline's at 3 p.m. on Saturday. There are links in the description below. And at the end of this video, if you're interested, Jenny and I will be picking our selection to try and win that 10 grand. I guess we'd split it 5K each, would we, Jenny?
Yeah, wild night out, I reckon.
Yeah, although I'm doing it each week, I think maybe I should get 6K and you can have 4.
Well, it depends whose picks come in, right?
That's true. And we've got video proof of who.
Yeah, we'll just look back and watch. We'll have to like do a percentage. It's like, oh, I only get 20% because only one of five was mine.
That would be harsh. That would be harsh.
It's going to have to be 50-50 or there'll be arguments, Taz. I'm sorry.
I agree. Yeah, let's call it 50-50. I'm happy with that. Right. So let's talk about the game week so far.
Yeah.
So your game week is it 21, right?
It is.
Going into 22. God, it's a long game week, isn't it? It feels like it's gone on forever. Yeah. You're on 52 points currently with a -4. You've got De Gea with 3, Trent with 4, Alonso with 6, Reguilon with 6, Diop with 1 and a game to play, Cancelo with 2. The old 5 at the back formation.
That's what I've been going with for a long time for some reason.
And then you've got Jota with 5, Bowen's your captain with 10, and then another fixture. Son, we'll talk about him, with 6. Antonio with 7 and fixture, and Ronaldo with 2. And a bench of Foster, Foden, Lacardia. And you benched little Saka.
I did. I benched Saka with 6 points. And I did that to play Alonso. And when I made that call, you dug me out on Twitter, I think, Az. I can't believe you went Alonso over Saka. And I just... I know I'm selling Alonso soon, and it's just like, give me one last hurrah or two last hurrahs, because he's obviously going to play in my double. But you can never write off Alonso in FPL. As much as I don't like him as a footballer, he has always been the most amazing FPL asset, and he rightly got those bonus points, because we all know the bonus points metrics. There are 32 of them, and you have to know them, and whether you agree with them or not, you have to pick players accordingly. So for successful crosses and take-ons and interceptions and clearances and the things Alonso does well, well, yeah, he accrues decent BPS. I'm not saying he's the best BPS magnet in the game. He's not. But you know the metrics. So don't complain when he gets your bonus points. It's stats. It doesn't lie.
Oh, says the Alonso owner.
Says the Alonso owner.
Is there 32 on the metric? I didn't know that.
There's 32 metrics for the bonus points. Where'd you pull that stat?
You've been planning for this Alonso rant, haven't you?
Well, I actually, no, it's back to 2017 when I wrote about it in my book.
Plug for the book, quick.
Where is it? So no, I mean, I love the BPS system. And there are certain players in this game, like Azpilicueta, for example, or Trent, that are just bonus point magnets, and there are others like Mo Salah that aren't very good in the BPS. Yeah.
I think that you make a really good point about the crossing, because we saw as well you've got Reguilon obviously, but Royale was the one who came out with the bonus points.
Did he get
that
bonus?
Yeah, he did. He got two.
All those crosses.
He had a pretty poor game.
Yeah,
his crosses were bad.
Yeah,
but he put in so many of them, and they don't get penalised.
Yeah. And if you land a few of them, then it's seen as a successful cross. And I think it's one in the BPS.
Yeah.
But you get minus one for being offside. You get minus three, I think, for missing a big chance as a forward. There's so many. Maybe I'll do a thread on Twitter. Check it out. But it's a really interesting system. Mm. And there are 32 metrics.
Yep, absolutely. I don't want to dwell too much on this game week, because I think, you know, you've had a decent, I think you've got all the key players in there. You've got three players tonight. You'll come out of this with a green arrow.
Yep.
I imagine, and that'll all be good. So I don't want to talk too much about this. I think we should focus on game week 22 and kind of going forward. So I'm going to jump straight into your team. Now, I've used so many different colours on this on this screen. If you're listening on the podcast, sorry, you won't see them. Let me just go through your team, and I'll reference the colours. I've added a new purple colour for double game weeks, which firstly is a bit different. De Gea in goal with the double, Cancelo. Alonso, Reguilon, Trent, currently orange flagged. We don't know if he's going to make it. Hopefully he will. Jota, Bowen, Son, obviously red flagged now, going to be out until looks like after the international break. Antonio, Ronaldo, a doubt. Missed out in the cup. Lacardia in your starting 11. I'm sure you've got a story about why he's there. And then Foster, obviously not back yet. Foden, we're still not sure about. Saka and Diop on your bench. I mean, you've got issues, haven't you? I mean, you've got four double game week players at the moment.
If you discard Son, because we know he's not going to play. So I'm on four doublers.
Four doublers. We're going to discard Son. We're going to discard Lacardi as well, because he now doesn't play for Brighton anymore. So four doublers. You've got the Ronaldo captaincy option there. What's your early thoughts going forward? What are you thinking of doing?
I'm thinking that Trent and Ronaldo are both going to be fine. Panic over. I'd almost eat my hat if either of them aren't. Like, they are both fine. Son we know isn't, and I need to sell. And the reason I've got Son and Lacardia in my starting 11 is just to show that they will be my two transfers out. So I'm going to replace Son and Lacardia with two guys that have got doubles. So I hope to take my four doublers to six doublers, which I think is quite a nice sort of effort considering we've all lost Son. So I'm fairly happy with those. I'll have six doublers, as well as double Liverpool, who play Brentford. That's a really nice single game week fixture. And then double West Ham, who play Leeds, which should be a nice single game week fixture. Although in the FA Cup, those teams faced each other and it wasn't plain sailing for Leeds. I think they got the second goal very late in the game. I think it was Bowen, but it was a tight, tight game. So yeah, it will look good, I think, my team for game week 2023, I hope. Or was it 22?
22.
Not too bad. Cancelo and Foden, like, they play Chelsea, my team, and I'm going to have to bench one of them. Always dangerous benching Foden. Maybe I start Foden over Cancelo, but the moment I've got Cancelo in. And again, I'm benching Saka and I'm benching Diop, both of which have, you know, okay chances of scoring points. If I was confident all fixtures were going ahead, and if I was confident Foster was fit, which I don't think he will be, then actually a bench boost could have been on the cards, which was my original plan. But I'm not just, I can't guarantee using a chip, right? I can't bank on that, knowing we could get fixtures called off.
Yep. I mean, very vague, though. Like, you've said you're going to get rid of Son and Lucardia. Go on, then. Are you getting?
Lucardia out is the easiest transfer ever because I've been trying to improve my squad and he was the last of the deadwood. And I was always reluctant to sell him because I just love that third bench fodder that you never have to use and is only 4.4 on your bench or whatever. But knowing we're still getting loads of postponements, it's time to swap him out. And actually, I'll have a really nice squad if he goes out to a Watford forward. I sold Josh King last week because I wanted to get Antonio in because Antonio had a good chance of a double-double. And whilst we knew Watford were going to very likely double, I was like, I prefer Antonio in a double game week. Now, he didn't get the double-double and just has Leeds next week. I'm not going to sell him because he's got some brilliant fixtures coming up, but it does mean Lucardia out for a Watford forward is annoying, seeing as I've just sold Josh King. Yeah. But it does allow me to go Dennis instead of King, who is my preferred option. And again, I think he's going to be fine. He returned to training yesterday. So Lucardia out for Dennis, and then I've got loads of money if I'm selling Son because I'm downgrading him to either Madison, Barnes or Lucas, likely Madison. Again, okay. I need to know about Leicester's news and the likelihood of their fixtures going ahead. I do like Lucas even for when Son is back, but I think I prefer Leicester attack than Spurs attack, knowing I already have Reguilon covered.
Interesting. Okay, a few things here. Dennis over King is an interesting one. I mean, I've got King. I'm sort of relatively happy with him. I think I probably would go for Dennis out of the two. You obviously sold on Dennis. Why is that? Just because better player?
I probably bought King when you did, as it was when we all bought a Watford forward 6 weeks ago, whenever it was. And most of us that went King because he was the number nine. And we liked the eye test with stuff we were seeing, and Dennis was overperforming and he was out wide. Well, since we all bought Josh King, Dennis has been smashing it and King's been out wide and Dennis has been number nine.
Typical,
so reluctantly, I'm having to go against what I originally thought, and I'm changing. You've got to be adaptable. Now, Dennis probably is the better option, but he hasn't made me the million he's made every other FPL manager. So I'm a bit bitter about it. Like, us King owners didn't get the points or the price rises, and now we've got to pay more for Dennis. But no doubt Dennis will be moved out onto the wing. So who knows? But I'm going with Dennis and hope that he's going to be the number nine. And he's just looked so good in front of goal. My only concern is, has he thrown his toys out the pram because of AFCON? I hope he hasn't. I know he was subbed at 45 minutes and Ranieri has said he had a knock. I'm sure he did. And we saw he returned to training late and missed the FA Cup. But a part of me just wonders, you never know what goes on behind closed doors. Is it more than that? I just hope it's not. But knowing he's returned to training, should be good to start. I just hope we see the performance on the pitch and he's not bitter about being left out and not making that trip, especially when his team Nigeria went and beat Egypt yesterday. He must be watching that going, I'd love to have been a part of that.
Yeah, I mean, there really is two different sides that I'm seeing about that. The first side is that what Ranieri talked about, this email coming through late, the admin preventing him from going and them kind of exercising the right not to send him. I mean, if that's true, I think that's insane, for want of a better word.
Yeah.
You know, if you're blocking a player who wants to be called up by his country for something as so important as the AFCON, then, you know, that is, yeah, I can't understand that. The other side of it is that Dennis wasn't selected by the manager before. He kind of came into the reckoning very late with the new manager, and there's been some reports he wasn't happy with his kind of position in the side and didn't think he'd be used enough and wanted to put his loyalty to the club. Yeah. Help them in the relegation spot. So I think his attitude is going to be entirely dependent on which of those two
is it version
true.
A or B? Yeah.
Yeah, is it version A or B? And it's kind of impossible to know. I mean, selection wise, they're gonna play him.
He's their most important player.
He's their best player. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, Watford is going to be a stepping stone for him because I think he's too good to stay there. Whatever happens, if they stay up or go down. So he's kind of playing for a move and, you know, playing for an international future as well with Nigeria. So, yeah, we'll kind of see what happens. But, yeah, I think Dennis would be my pick as well. Is that from -4 then, these two moves?
Yeah, so it's weird. Like, I see a -4 as like almost normal service now because we're playing each week as it comes. And I think the four is worth it for that extra fixture because the whole it's only a -2. Well, it kind of is. And also it then gives me a better squad should there be postponements in the next couple of weeks, which there might be. So yeah, it'll be a -4. And then Son out is, yeah, it's a toss of a coin. Do I invest in Leicester or Spurs with Lucas? Madison is a player I've wanted for a while. I tweeted about Madison 2 months ago and I'm gutted I didn't take my own advice and bring him in. before he went crazy. So I think it will be Mads.
Do you think that game goes ahead?
I think it will. I think they've got too many to postpone. They're creating too much of a backlog now. And I think they would have been told when they postponed the game the other day, yeah, okay, but with a view to playing your next one. We haven't seen a team with a postponement have two in a row yet. Mm. And we've seen a lot of teams have issues with numbers, and they somehow have always played that second game, even when it's a similar number to what they said would be for the first game. This would be a first.
Talking to Neil is interesting, because obviously Neil's the big team news guy. He says they need five back for this game to go ahead, because they currently have seven, or is it eight?
Maybe it's
four back. They've got eight, and they need 12, or is it 13?
13, yeah.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, so it must be eight and 13. So they need five. They've got three likely to come back.
Yeah. They're injuries, I expect.
Which are injuries. Yeah. So they still need another two. I'm not so confident as you that it goes ahead.
And the deadline is obviously Friday, not Saturday. So we won't get, if it was an early deadline Saturday, we might get, oh, that player's been seen on the bus or whatever. You know, Leicester play away to Burnley. Yeah. So they would travel on the Friday night. We'd see people getting on buses or checking into hotels. We're not going to get that now, because it's going to be an earlier deadline. So Friday. Yeah.
And it's the fixture you want first, the Burnley one. If it was Tottenham first and then Burnley, you could almost say, well, it's worth the risk to try and tap, you know, we've got a few extra days to get that Burnley match. But because I think it's a good double game move for Leicester, really, attacking wise. I think Maddison, I think Barnes playing up top most likely, Lookman as well. If Daka is back, I think he could be a great sort of left field player to bring in. But I'm just a bit concerned that game doesn't go ahead. And
if we know it is going ahead, then Daka is, I would almost be tempted to go Daka over Dennis and maybe even double Leicester. Because I'm with you. I see him scoring in both games. It's just we need to know if it's going ahead. I think by Friday we'll have good intel. I don't think it will be as good intel as it would have been Saturday morning, but I hope to have it.
Yeah. We're in slightly different positions with our strikers, because I've got Ronaldo, King and Antonio. So I don't really want to move any of those three around. But the player I want is Kane.
Yeah. Because I'd captain Kane this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Arsenal and Leicester are the two teams he scores the most goals against. Yeah. Son weakens them a lot. The partnership he's got with Kane is key. And I do wonder if Kane is going to, you know, Tottenham this season have struggled because of a lack of creativity.
Yeah.
You're taking out, you know, probably the second most creative player in the side, you know, after Kane. Yeah. So I do wonder how many goals they're going to score, but those two fixtures look good. He'd be the captain. Are you not tempted to kind of juggle things round and do a Lucardia up to Kane? It's too difficult.
I've tried it. So if I go Lucardia to Kane, Son has to, and I've got a bit of money in the bank, but Son has to go down to like a 3 million midfielder, which doesn't exist. So unless I'm taking an 8-point hit, the other move I could get is if I was willing to sell Antonio, but I'm just not willing to sell Antonio with the fixtures. Look, maybe Antonio plays really bad tonight against Norwich and I go, or maybe he has a knock and then something triggers. But at the moment, I just think selling Antonio ahead of some of the fixtures he has, which is, a really nice double. But then he's got Leeds in, well, double now, then Leeds. But after that, it's United, which isn't a hard fixture now. Watford, Leicester, Newcastle. I can't sell him.
Yeah,
so
no,
Kane's out of touch, unless I sell Ronaldo. Now, if I was on a free hit, I'd be taking both Ronaldo and Kane. But if I could only have one, it would be Kane over Ronaldo. But that move isn't worth the 4-point hit for me.
Yeah, you're in the same boat as me. It's horrible going into like a double game where there's so few options and it feels like we haven't got the best one, which is Kane. It's interesting that you've got that kind of striker spot, but you can't quite make it with the kind of structure that you've got. It's frustrating.
It is. And it's funny. We're often like thinking along similar lines as you and I. You just always have better ranks.
No comment. Don't know about this season, Jan. I'm a bit worried. Not going to lie. It's, you know, now you're doing these with me and not Andy. Clearly, you've stepped it up a bit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, Alonso. Let's talk a little bit about Alonso. So you mentioned him earlier. You know, talks about the BPS, talks about his ability as a footballer and compared to his, you know, his his FPL sort of pedigree. It is interesting with Alonso because he's gone from the player that I think everyone wanted to sell a week ago to people buying him now and thinking that he's maybe even the best defender to own for this double game week.
I would honestly, guys, unless you're on a free hit, I think Alonso is a brilliant pick.
Yeah.
I would not buy Alonso in a month of Sundays. Like, do not do it. Like, yes, we all know about the blanks in 24-25, but do not forget, he's going to lose his place as Chelsea's left back very soon. Like, Tuchel doesn't want to play him. Tuchel doesn't like him. Like, yes, sure, Chilwell's out for a long time, but there will be a left back that comes to Chelsea Football Club. Well, it was meant to be Dean, and now it's not going to be. But there's talk that we'll bring Emerson back from loan. He's on loan at Lyon. We're going to have to pay to bring him back, which is ridiculous. Only like, Chelsea.
Categorically voted not good enough by pretty much every Chelsea manager that's played. And now it's, we're paid. What was
It was interesting. Like, Emerson and Alonso were both sort of level pegging at the end of last season as the backup left back. And it was actually Emerson that, like, was coming on in the Champions League, and he scored against Atletico Madrid in the quarters. But Tuchel didn't fancy Alonso or Emerson. And I think he just said, look, we'll let one of you go out on loan. And it was like a bit like eeny, meeny, miny, moe. I don't think there was much behind it. I think Emerson probably maybe has a larger resale value. So we thought if Emerson goes out on loan, there's a chance Lyon buy him and then we make more money. But he's not happy with either. But right now, I think he takes Emerson over Alonso. And if he doesn't, then maybe we buy one in January. I do not think Alonso is going to be our starting left back for the remainder of the season. I really don't, after the transfer window.
Because I've seen like Ryan Bertrand mentioned as well.
We get Bertrand, maybe Alonso does keep his spot. But, you know, I'm hoping we get someone with a bit more pedigree than that. And so much of our left backs, our wing backs, that whoever it is will get a good share of minutes. Like Alonso, of course, is still going to play a lot of games because we play so many and we ask so much of them. But he's not a favourite and he definitely will be a rotation risk.
Yeah, because I think what you're referring to is they've got the double nows in 22 and then it's Spurs at home. So you're likely to get those three games out of him, I imagine. Yeah, then it's two blanks. And then by the time Alonso plays again, it's the 19th of February.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're going to get 2 game weeks out of Alonso, max.
Yeah.
He's not worth the purchase. He's worth it on the free hit. I think he'd be my number one defender on a free hit, obviously after Trent. Trent first and then Alonso.
Yeah. Yeah, because you see that Man City game, you go, are they going to concede? And Chelsea, I'm sure, will concede. But the attacking returns you get from Alonso, and when he gets them, he features in the BPS. So, yeah.
Yep. Actually, I've got two more. Penultimate question is, sell Lucas Moura to me, because I'm not convinced at all that I want him.
So when Spurs play a 3-4-3, which they often do, he is nailed with Son in the team and Lucas. Now, they only play a 3-5-2 against the high line. So when they played Southampton, when they played Liverpool, Lucas does miss out because they play Son and Kane as a front two. But 9 times out of 10, they'll play 3-4-3. That involves Lucas. Without Son, we know it. Lucas is at 100% nailed. So don't worry about minutes. You're going to get them with Lucas. The price bracket he's in for the amount of goal involvements he has is phenomenal. Like, the guy is the third most likely Spurs points scorer after Kane and Son in terms of attacking. And he's like, what is he, 6.7? Like, you're getting a player that's sort of in a big six club for 6.7 that's going to be very heavily involved. And we can't reach Kane. So it kind of helps cover the Kane thing. Mm. It's Lucas Moura. And we don't like, every time we watch him, we go, he's average. When he does well, we say he's overperforming. He's therefore not ever been or will be the sexiest FPL option. But at the moment, he's looking good. And what Conte likes is hard-working players that will run a lot. And he does that. He ticks that box. And he's actually surprised me this season, since Conte took over, especially with his goal involvements. He's had some really well-taken goals. And I didn't realise he was so good in front of goal. So maybe things have turned a little bit. The tide's turned. But I think Lucas is a very good option. And if Leicester, there is doubt over their fixture, and we can't go to Maddison, and we can't go to Lookman, and we can't go to Barnes, Lucas will be such a heavily transferred in option.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think I'm likely to go for Maddison if the Leicester game's on the same as you. But there's such a limited pool of double game week players I'm considering that kind of puts Moura up. And you make some good points about him. Do you think in a 3-5-2, we could see Moura take that Son role as well? Because he's played up front sort of before for Spurs.
Yeah, he has. At one point, he even went to he played false nine under Mourinho when they had injury problems. But I don't think we'll see a 3-5-2 against these opponents. Like, I don't think we'll see it possibly against Arsenal. I don't think we'll see it against Leicester. So there's a chance, but if it's 3-5-2, Lucas, and it will be Lucas and Kane, and then Ndombele or Dele comes into the midfield. If it's 3-4,
yeah, that's not, I don't think that's gonna happen.
If it's 3-4-3, then yeah, it's Lucas one side, and then does he give Lo Celso some minutes? He's been coming on as a sub. Does he give Brian Hill some minutes? Possibly. Or does he play Dele higher up and revert to that 3-5-2 because Son is out? I don't quite know, but Lucas is guaranteed to be the second or third highest player up the pitch when Spurs play any game, despite the formation, right? He's gonna be close to the goal. Without Son, though, Spurs just aren't as good, are they?
I know. That is the major thing. I think Moura without Son is potentially a better option than Kane is worse, just because we know with Moura we're going to get those minutes.
Yeah.
Now. So that is
and we'll get them for a while. And when Son comes back, you still haven't got to worry too much about minutes. So yeah, he's played two lots of 90 in the last three with Son. And one of them was 17 points. He's had a 9-pointer in recent weeks. He's been doing well.
He has been doing well. Did he get 17 points?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good Lord. Yeah, against Crystal Palace. Wow. Okay, final question is on Ronaldo, captain. You aren't the biggest United fan, let's putting it mildly, but you're backing Ronaldo in these two games. I mean, the Villa game, how United won that game, I don't know. They're not going to win that game if they play like that.
If I had a pound for the amount of times I've watched Man United win 1-0 and not deserve the victory, like I would be a very rich man. Honestly, it's so annoying. And I'm like, oh God, this reminds me of like Fergie United, so many Uniteds. But Villa were really good, and I expect Villa to score against United. Having seen them play United, I now expect Villa to score against United. The added bonus for Villa is Maguire's probably going to play as well, which should be nice.
I know. It's harsh, but probably quite fair at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, there were still errors in that defence. Like Varane and Lindelof, there were still errors. Like Watkins hit the bar from a huge Lindelof error. But I still looked at that defence and thought, it's probably better without Wan-Bissaka and without Maguire at the moment. But yeah, I think I am going to have to go Ronaldo. Villa and Brentford, it's the Brentford game. Like, the Brentford game is lovely. We've just seen Southampton score 4 against Brentford. I expect United. Yes, it's at Brentford. But if I had Kane, it would be Kane, but I don't. So other than that, you're going to back a doubler. Therefore, it's got to be a United or Spurs asset. I think I'm not willing to go to Watford. As good as Watford have been attacking, Dennis isn't a captaincy option for me. I just cannot trust a team right at the bottom of the table to score goals at any given week.
Not a little bit tempted by the single game week, Jota? No, always a doubler.
I'm so big on doublers when it comes to things like each selection and captaincy and even taking hits. Just love the idea you've got 180 minutes rather than 90 to do something. So yeah, I mean, Jota and Trent have got amazing fixtures, but I've got an amazing fixture, but I'll always back the guy with minutes.
Yep, awesome. Yeah, really nice. I think, yeah, I mean, looking at your team, I thought you're in big trouble. But, you know, you've made a good case. I think, you know, with your -4, you should be in fairly good nick. So your team would be De Gea, Cancelo, Alonso, Reguilon, Trent, Jota, Bowen, Madison, or Moura, Antonio, Ronaldo, and Dennis. Decent.
Yeah, I do think it will be Mads over Moura. Although the fixtures aren't brilliant long-term for either, but Madison's just been amazing. And I was really impressed with the heat map. When Lookman played number 9 in the FA Cup, it was Madison almost alongside him. And if Daka isn't back, I think it will be the same front too. It was Barnes left, Lookman and down the middle with Madison just off him. And Madison was as advanced as Barnes and Lookman pretty much. It looked pretty good for Mads owners.
Yeah, agree. I love people talking nicely about my lovely Madison.
Yeah, well, he's been your guy for years, isn't he? You've got
everyone had written him off. I've always been convinced he's going to smash it. I really hope if he has a really good second half of the season, I'll be, you know, if he gets back into the England reckoning. Because there was a point, wasn't there, when him and Grealish were kind of 50-50, and then Grealish just pulled away, and it's just been
and
very,
even Mount,
very different.
There was Madison or Mount at one early stage. Like, I do think with England, like, Southgate just doesn't like him. There's something there. Like, Southgate took a long time to warm to Grealish when we were all saying put him in, and he's taking a very long time to warm to Madison.
I think Madison is a player that needs the team built around him. Whereas I think Grealish is someone who can thrive in kind of any
good point,
any position. And that's probably the same with the same as Mount as well. You don't build a team around Mount. He can play. He's so versatile. He can play wherever you like. But I do think Madison's got quality to match those two. It's just the consistency and the injuries, I think, are holding him back.
Leicester will do well to keep him if he carries on as he's been going this second half. Then he'll be a Leicester fans, but he'll be a bigger club, I think.
Yep. Well, imagine him at Spurs.
Yeah.
He would you know, if they get rid of Dele Alli and Ndombele.
Yeah.
Madison could be the perfect player for them.
Yeah. Imagine Madison playing behind in a as a number 10 if he went with the front two and he had Son and Kane ahead of him. That'd be some front three.
Yeah, I'd like that. That's like a Football Manager-esque.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, that's great, Johnny. Let's talk Fantasy 5 before we finish. So we got five games to look forward to on this. Burnley-Leicester, Aston Villa United, Liverpool-Brentford, West Ham, Leeds and Spurs-Arsenal. If there are any postponements or cancellations, the 10 grand prize, unfortunately, you can't win it, but there's still other prizes around that you can do. I think they offered £1,000 or something like that if you've got four, okay. Right? So yeah, just keep your eye on that and kind of how the rules change based on that. Okay, so let's start with Burnley-Leicester. Let's assume these games are kind of all going ahead. We've got Daka at 6-5. I think we've got to go Leicester player, right? We've got Daka at 6-5, Tielemans 7-5, Madison 7-5, Barnes 7-5. Lucky them?
Probably got to go Mads after what we've just said.
I think so. He's the obvious one, isn't he? I mean, you've got other players with cheaper, but I think you've got to back the Lookman 7-5 as well. I think you've got to back the
star man
goals, yeah. And the star man. Yeah,
and he's the set piece threat with Mads is great at the moment. He's really delivering on some of those set pieces. He looks brilliant. Yeah.
I think that's quite an easy pick. Villa United. This is a tough game to know what's going to happen here.
They're going to want revenge, mate. Villa. They were robbed.
They are. I mean, weirdly enough, Fred is a little bit interesting. He's 4-5. So all he needs is an assist. McTominay's 5-5.
Okay.
As well. So he needs a clean sheet and an assist would do it for him. I can't see him getting a clean sheet.
What's Buendia?
Buendia's 6-5. So not
and Watkins
bad.
Is probably 6-5 as well, is he?
Watkins is 6-5, yeah. Watkins is 6-5. Ings is 6-5 as well. And then United mids, you've got Sancho 7-5. Rashford 8-5. Fernandez 8-5. And then Ronaldo's 6-5.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, it's got to be Ronnie then.
I mean, that's probably a bit low, isn't it? That price. Knowing
Rashford's 8-5, yeah. Ronaldo's 6-5, that seems too good to be true.
The injury maybe is maybe making them think to price him down. It's very rare that I look at a Fantasy 5 selection and think that player's been underpriced, but I think Ronaldo's got to be at 6-5, right?
I think so. I was all set to say that front three of Ings, Watkins and Buendia will be the same front three and they caused United issues. And they're all 6.5. But now you can have Ronaldo for the same.
I didn't even look at Ronaldo. I thought he's going to be too much.
I genuinely, if you'd asked me to guess, I would have said 9.
Yeah, so would I. Yeah, Ronaldo is. Easy choice. Liverpool-Brentford next. Got players like Firmino and Origi. Obviously going to be trusted more now that Salah and Mane are at AFCON. Firmino's 9-5, though Origi's 8-5.
Wow.
That's a lot. I think they're really backing Liverpool to win this game.
Can we back a Brentford goal in this, maybe?
I think we probably should. I mean, Jota's 11-5. These are really high targets. Tony 6-5. That means he needs more than a goal, which he's pretty much incapable of doing. Jensen, I mean, it could be someone like Jensen 5-5 or Canos 5-5, Norgard's 4-5.
What's Mbombo?
Baptiste is 5-5, Mbombo's 6-5.
Okay, we definitely want I wonder if we back one of the wing backs. Jan Elt scored a good goal last night.
Well, Jan Elt's 4-5, so all he needs is an assist, one assist.
I mean, I haven't watched him closely, but I don't think he's the most advanced midfielder. But he was in a very good position to score the goal with that sort of late run into the box. Knowing he only needs one return off the back of a goal.
Yeah, I'm happy with Jan Elt. The only one that might sway you is Trent is 9-5.
I think I'd go with three returns? Yeah.
He needs a clean sheet.
Clean sheet and two.
Clean sheet, yeah. The clean sheet and an assist wouldn't do it. That would get him 9. So we need a goal. You need a goal and a... Yeah, I think that's probably too much. Okay, let's go with Jan Elt then. 4-5.
God. The only time you ever pick Jan Elt, wasn't it?
That's why I quite like this game, though. You end up with players like that. Okay, West Ham Leeds. Antonio's 8-5. Suchek 7-5. Bowen 8-5. They're probably the main ones.
What's Bamford? Because there's talk that he'll be fit.
Bamford 6-5, so needs a goal and something else.
There's a good chance he just comes off for 10 minutes at the end, isn't there?
I'd rather have Antonio.
Yeah.
I think.
I'm happy with any of those attacking West Ham's then. It's at the London Stadium, which makes me think, you know, the ceiling is higher.
I mean, Dallas is 5-5. I picked Dallas last week, and did he get a goal? He got a goal or an assist, and he had a low target.
Okay.
But he needed a goal. I think he was 4-5 when I picked him. Now he's 5-5. Maybe a bit too much. Okay, let's go for one of Bowen or Antonio. Both 8-5. Who do you want?
I reckon we should probably go Bowen on form.
Bowen?
I mean, we might be watching this off the back of an Antonio hat-trick against Norwich, yeah, but we can always change it. It's the beauty with this. You can change it late.
Imagine if it's that selection that costs us the money. Okay, and the final game is Tottenham-Arsenal. So Kane, he's been 6-5 for quite a while now. He's up to 9-5.
Wow.
Now, Lacazette 6-5. You've got Son 8-5. Mora 7-5. And then for Arsenal, you got them all around 7-5. Martinelli, Odegaard, Saka and Smith Rowe all at 7-5.
So Lacazette's the most affordable.
Lacazette's the most affordable at 6-5. But obviously needs a goal and an assist.
Yeah, he is on pens. We did see that. He's still on them.
Because, I mean, in theory, if Saka scored in a 1-0, he would get 8. So he'd hit his target. Because he'd get the clean sheet point as well.
Saka would be my pick of the midfield if we went for a midfielder.
I think we go for Saka.
Yeah, let's do that.
I think Saka's the one. I mean, who do you think wins that game? Interesting game. So, I mean, you know, Arsenal have been so good. And obviously lost in the cup to Forest.
And it was a good team. They played Saka, Odegaard. I think Martinelli started too. Like, it was a strong 11. There was a bit of rotation, but it was still strong. It's going to be such a close one to call. And North London derbies can be so fun and there can be loads of goals. But equally, you know, you wouldn't be surprised to see a stalemate now. Conte's there, shutting up shop. Arsenal are the home team. I usually just sway with home advantage.
No,
the 50-50s.
Tottenham are home team.
Oh, Spurs are at home.
Spurs are at home.
I'll probably have to say Spurs then, but it'll be so close.
So we go Moore or Saka.
You choose.
Let's go for Moore. We've been picking him up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have Saka on my FPL bench, so I'll be happy with a blank.
Yeah, let's go for Moore. So Maddison, Ronaldo, Jan Elt, Bowen and Moore. Good
fight. Nice.
Sorted. Beautiful stuff. That is all in. Team selection confirmed. Lovely. It's quite good doing these live as well, because it means I always do them. It's probably quite a good habit for people to get into who are watching. As you're watching us, do your own team so you don't forget. Yeah. Jannik, that's awesome. Thank you so much. We'll be back next week, most likely.
Definitely.
To talk about the Game Week 23 and how we're kind of getting on. But yeah, for now, good luck tonight. Good luck with prep for Game Week 22. And I'll see you next week.
Sounds good. Cheers, mate. Bye-bye.